a little taste. Now, when you look at that passage of Scripture, you might have said, many directions that passage of Scripture that we could go. But folks, here's, brothers and sisters and friends, what I want us to think about. There's multiple things that are extremely specific and important for us to taste in our lives. Obviously, wine is not one of them. But for us to look at, this man tasted what Jesus had done. And he was astonished. And he wanted to know. And he started asking questions. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine it says 20 to 30 gallons apiece. So if we go with 25 gallons apiece for each jug, that's 150 gallons of water turned into wine. 150 gallons. Jesus' mother asked him, do you ever wonder about this? I thought about this. Mary must have knew what Jesus could do. This is the first recorded miracle we have, chronologically in the Bible. But Mary knew Jesus could do that. Something like that. But if you focus on the person that is head of the wedding and head of the ceremonies, he says, had tasted the water that was made into wine. A little taste of Jesus. A little taste of what Jesus could do. A little bit of the miracles of God in our lives. Not the wine. Not the wine. That's just a very small, insignificant part. The part is that Jesus began his ministry, began public miracles. And he did something that a man had never ever done before, or maybe has ever done since. And it made a difference, just a little taste of what Jesus could do. And today, 2,000 years later, just a little taste of what Jesus can do in our lives. We should be astonished. It should make a difference in our lives. I have 3 racks of ribs in a smoker at home. For Hannah. The last time I had a couple racks of ribs I smoked, they were in Florida, and Lucas and I, we ate them up anyways. They were good. Man, oh man. But if I was to cut those, I got 3 racks, I cut them in half, put them in a smoker. But if I was to go, that's 3 racks about this long, okay? And so as we gathered for our family Sunday meal today, if I just cut off one bone and a little bit of meat at each one and said, here's a little taste, would it be satisfied? Especially with all them other ribs still sitting there with meat on. You just get one apiece. Me too. But folks, sometimes that's what we do with Jesus. We just want a little rib. We don't want the whole rack. And that has to do with our taste buds. And what is it appealing to God? And guess what? God's Holy Word talks about the next passage of Scripture in Psalms. Oh, how I love your law. It is the meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. I didn't even think about it this morning, but that ties right in with our lesson that we were studying this morning, Brother Phil. How sweet are your words to my taste? Just a little taste. Just a little taste. Folks, how many of us open God's Word every day of our lives? Just a little taste. How many of us have went a whole day without eating in the last week? Maybe none of us. How many of us have went a whole day without this little taste of God's Word? And as brother said this morning in class, it's individual responsibility. I can't call up and say, hey, Brother Tom, you open your Bible yet today? Or if I called out each member as the preacher, hey, what's going on today? I wonder what he wants. Rup roll. I'm encouraging us a little taste every day of our lives, God's words. And if you want to be full, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with having a whole meal, God's word. That's good for us. But sometimes we just start with a little taste, right? How many of us, let's use this again, analogy to remember, as I see my grandkids learning to taste certain things, just try a taste. I don't like that. I don't want that. Just a little taste. Just taste it once. It's just like us that we savor God's word and we want somebody just to taste it, just a little bit. Just try it. Just try it. Just try it. Nope. You're not going to force it. Just not even a taste. Is it sweet? Are God's words sweet to your taste? In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, it is written, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Jesus did taste death for us, so we don't have to. One of the things we don't want a little taste of, we don't want nothing to do with is death. Death eternal, spiritual death. Just a little taste, folks. Sometimes that's what Satan wants us to do. Just a little taste of sin. And Jesus said, I died for you. Don't taste that. Jesus said, I went to the cross for you. Don't taste that. How many people are led astray by just a little taste of sin? Just a little click of the mouse? Just a push of the phone? Jesus said, God's holy word says, Jesus tasted death for everyone, so we don't have to. I'm so thankful for that in my life. I'm so thankful for that in our life. Also in Hebrews, continuing chapter 6, it is written, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Obviously, you can see the highlighted part of the passage in dealing with a little taste this morning. A little taste of enlightenment. A little taste of the heavenly gift. A little taste of the partaking of the Holy Spirit. A little taste of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Now, if I was asking you, are you hungry for the power of God in your life? Are you hungry for the Holy Spirit? Are you hungry for a heavenly gift? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Were you once enlightened? Or are you still enlightened? Did you taste that heavenly gift once and were enthused about your salvation in the gospel of Christ and the power of Jesus and the Holy Word working in your lives? And has it diminished? Was it just a little taste? Are you still hungry and thirst after righteousness in your life? I continue to remind myself and us that this is a book of love, God's love to us, his will for us to be happy, to be right, to be righteous, to have eternal life. It's the good word of God. It is what is good. And it promises the powers of the ages to come. Eternal life. Eternal life. Is there an in-between between salt and pepper? If we were to taste, a little taste of salt, a little taste of pepper. What's in between? If I was going to ask you, what's in between salt and pepper? I don't know. I never even thought about it for this now. I just, you know. Has anybody else ever thought about it till now? What's in between salt? There is nothing in between salt and pepper. It's either salt or it's pepper. Yes, salt and pepper. Okay. You have different types of salt, different types of pepper. But a little
taste of the will of God and the Word of God, and a little taste of Satan, and a little taste of sin. They just don't mix. There's not an in-between. There's not an in-between salt and pepper. There's not an in-between a child of God and a child of Satan, folks. You're one or the other. One or the other. And the world tries to convince us, and Satan tries to convince us it's okay to have a little bit of world and a little bit of Jesus. It's okay to taste a little sin. We need to recognize that sin is very bitter and a terrible taste. And it taints the taste of the good word. And it taints eternal life. And it taints the Holy Spirit. And it taints being enlightened. There's no way in the world, folks, you can sit down and watch a R-rated movie that has a tremendous amount of sin in it and say, I was enlightened. You may have been convicted. You may have to repent. Folks, there's so many beautiful things in this world God's created that we can spend our time with. Let's make sure we're not spending them enjoyment with something that's sinful. It's a little taste of sin. We all struggle with that, folks. Let's be honest with each other. We all walk in that same path. Even us that are walking in the street narrowly. Don't let a little taste of sin rob you from the taste of the good word of God and the powers to come and the Holy Spirit and the heavenly gift and being enlightened. Our last passage this morning comes from Psalms 34, verses 8 through 10. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Taste and see that the Lord is good. If I was to ask us this morning to write down on a piece of paper something, well, we did that at the camp, possibly. What good happened to you in the last week since the last time we gathered? I think that's basically count a blessing that you've been blessed with. Have you had a little taste of the kingdom of heaven this week? Little taste of Jesus. Little taste of the power of his word. Little taste of fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ as we gather this morning. Maybe you've tasted it and you don't even recognize it. You're just eating away. You know, eat so fast you don't even taste it. You ever heard that before? I had a great taste this morning. Let me tell you what happened. I'm sitting on the back pew. The children get out of Bible study and they come sit down. And Benjamin sits down in between his mom and dad. And he hugs his mom, puts his head on her shoulder. Then he turns around and he hugs his dad, puts his head on his dad's shoulder. And I don't know what encouraged him to do that. But for us to come together and to recognize that we're tasting good things. We taste the love of God, the forgiveness of Christ, the faith of each other walking and following Jesus. Those are a little taste of the kingdom of heaven, of the things to come, of good things in our lives, folks. Take time out for a little taste this week. In a recap of our lesson this morning, a little taste. Of
Questions. Have we tasted the water that was made to wine? Have you tasted something that Jesus has done? His will, his words, his actions, his deeds, his promises. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Figuratively wise, have you recognized the change Jesus has made in your heart? Are his words sweet to our taste? Jesus tasted death for everyone, so we don't have to. Have we been enlightened, and have we tasted the heavenly gift? Have we become partakers of the Holy Spirit? Have we tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come? Have we tasted and see that the Lord is good? The world wants us to believe the world is going to hell in a handbasket, folks. Jesus came to say, I'm seeking and saving that which is lost. Follow me. Taste what is good. I created you, sir. I created each and every one of you. I died and tasted death so you didn't have to. If you have not begun to follow Jesus in your life, we invite you to do that this morning by being baptized in him for the remission of your sins. If there's anything in your life you need prayers of congregation about, or something you want to make right personally with God right now in your heart, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing the selected hymn.